Once more under the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting app...
Aptitude?
iPhone app. Let me start all over again. Once more under the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead. I think we just lost a few of them somewhere along there.
The English dead, we lost them?
Yes.
But you threw me off again.
I did.
Yeah, well.
I think you're very easily thrown.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and...
Jake.
McClure.
All right, we got through that.
Yes, okay.
All right, now we've got two hours to...
We got to be here for 2 hours?
Oh, boy.
Man. 2 hours?
Yep.
That's a long time.
Depends on who you ask.
I just asked myself.
Yes, but if your execution was in 2 hours, you would think it was a very short period of time.
My execution of this radio show.
Our execution hasn't been so hot this morning.
Well, you are listening to The Personal Wealth Coach, and not coincidentally, The Personal Wealth Coach is also the name of a registered investment advisory firm in Salado, Texas. Now, our reporters are carefully delving into the depths of the reason behind this apparent co-naming.
They're not really.
They're not?
They pretty well know that it's not a coincidence.
But I didn't say it was a coincidence. It's not coincidental. Obviously, there is a conspiracy afoot here.
Someone has conspired to have a business name.
That's also the name of a radio program.
And the people that were conspiring are the same people as
who
on the radio program.
Are in charge of both of mm-hmm. them. More on news at 5.
Right. Something like that.
That'd be cool. We could do an investigative report.
It'd be an easy one, seeing as we'd be investigating decisions that we made ourselves.
Let me tell you, I'm continually curious about the decisions I made myself.
I think when you look at I made the mistake of watching a news channel.
You
the
made
other
a
day.
Mistake, ladies and gentlemen,
it's
boys and
thing.
Girls. Please note this down. Jake made a mistake. Okay.
So and I'm not going to go into details. It was a 24-hour news channel, and what they were reporting was what news was trending at that moment. And then the news that they were reporting started trending because they were reporting it. So they were reporting the trending news on Twitter as the Twitter feed was reporting that they were reporting it. And I just thought, well, there's news for news' sake right there.
I don't think anybody... tweets. Is that
that
the
is,
appropriate
That is
verb?
The correct.
Tweets.
Yes.
I don't think that there's anyone tweeting about this radio presentation.
Yeah. You never can tell. They tweet about a lot of very strange things.
I am so far...
hopefully we are...
I'm so far deaf to tweeting.
Yeah, so hopefully we are more boring than what people are eating for breakfast. So
tweet about what they eat for breakfast?
Well, of course. What else is important in your life?
I can think of several things.
I mean, we can take pictures of our food and tell everyone, look, I had a sandwich this morning. It's quite good. I mean, connection, the ability to connect to the people around you. There was a great cartoon.
Uh-huh.
You know, if 15 years ago we had told someone that we could put the computing power of the world in our pocket with references and sources, connections to all of the accumulated knowledge of all civilizations to this point, and we would spend all of our time taking pictures of cats. that sounds like a Far Side science fiction novel.
It is, only we're living in
we're
it.
We're living
you know?
It. Yes.
Yeah, I was, and the thing is, I guess I'm getting old.
You guess?
I guess.
I think everyone is getting old.
Well, my sense of getting old has a lot to do with the fact that I see things on Facebook that I just don't understand.
there are some people that look at Facebook and don't understand Facebook.
But
so
I got that.
That's me most of the time.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, sometimes you put things on Facebook I don't understand. Well, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and as I disclosingly disclosed a few minutes ago, the Personal Wealth Coach is an investment management firm down in Salado. We're Jake over there and Jeff, who is the guy who's talking right now, are the principals down there, and we try to make the investment decisions and manage investments and so on. But we're on the radio right now, in case you didn't notice.
They may not have.
They may have thought that it was just our voices floating out of space. Then again, if no one's listening, it's just...
That's all I'm hearing. I'm just hearing your voice in my head from across the room.
And the funny thing is, we sit here for 2 hours on Saturday mornings about, 6 feet from each other.
Uh-huh.
We put on headphones and talk into microphones so we can hear each other.
Yes, it's quite fascinating.
I think married couples should do that. You ever think about... I was reading recently that the average married couple apparently only converses directly with each other for 30 minutes a week.
Oh.
Total. And you and I get to talk to each other for 2 hours. So that's cool. I mean, it's a good father-son relationship here.
Yeah. And we do it with headphones on. So
yeah,
we
so
have,
we be careful about what we say.
Don't have to worry about lip reading. And it's like, well... You know what I said, because I'm speaking directly into your ears.
And if there's ever any question about who said what, it's being recorded. That'd be the perfect... Man, we should just do this all the time.
Now, there are a couple of momentous events that took place...
Well, let me tell the telephone numbers first.
Oh, yes, please.
If you'd like to call in and ask us any questions about anything to do with money or investing or the economy, or you'd like to make a comment about any of those subjects, you're certainly welcome to do so, and the telephone numbers in here are, if you're in East Bell County, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400. Anywhere else?
And it occurs, there you go. It's kind of an interesting. I almost said, if you're really, really, really old fashioned and you still have a landline telephone and you're in East Bell County, you can dial 773-1400. But anyway, you said there were some momentous events.
Yes. In the regulatory world, the area that we look at quite regularly, the regular.
Oh, you are just having entirely too much fun today.
Everyone else in that has listened has just changed the channel. Oh, that was bad. The Labor Department no longer has someone in charge of it, and the SEC has just changed the person in charge.
Secretary of Labor was just confirmed last week by the Senate and took position. What do you mean no one's in charge?
Well, the taking of position takes place, I think it starts on Monday. And as of Thursday, the former Secretary of Labor stepped down, so there's no one laboring in the government right now. Just thought that should be a known fact.
Well, I think the nominee who was the undersecretary of the deputy... Secretary of Labor probably has simply moved into that position.
The pictures have been removed from the frames and not been replaced with the new Labor Secretary yet. So no one is laboring. I think they should do that on Labor Day.
They don't have any secretary laboring.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yes.
You know, it's my personal theory that the secretaries run the world.
It is true. When you consider what secretary actually means. It sounds like we have just completely changed the subject. Those of you that, well, not really. We're going to bring it right back. Secretary really did mean the keeper of secrets. So, of course, we have secretaries in government. But wait a minute. This government has no secrets.
Secretary of State. Those are state secrets.
State secrets and labor secrets and SEC secrets. And if you have a secretary at your office, she is the keeper of the secrets.
Probably,
or he is.
True statement. You know, I mean, the secretary of state used to be a female, and the secretary of labor used to be a female, but now we're going masculine. Anyway, on to the momentous events. Other than the fact that the secretary of labor isn't laboring.
Well, there's another movement made by the SEC right in the middle of this. The SEC has just gotten a new head and. That's Mary Jo White.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
Mary Jo.
Mary Jo.
Mary Jo.
right in the middle of this, they are moving to strip Mr. Cohen, as an SAC, SAC Cohen, of his ability to manage money for other people.
There's a lot of that going on at the hedge funds. The cover of Bloomberg Business Week has a very controversial photograph on it and graphics that I'm not going to describe because it is...
It's controversial and you don't need to know anything more about it.
Let's put it like this. There's certain implied connotations on there that probably would be better expressed in Esquire. Anyway,
it seems like there's a lot of that going on. Could you explain that a little bit more?
You want me to describe what I...
Well, you brought it up. I have no idea what you're talking about at
this
point.
Well, you ought to, if you take a look at the cover, to show how innocent I am, when I first looked at the cover, I just thought, oh, well, there's this big arrow going up from the midriff of this man at a 45-degree angle.
Oh, well, I think I know where you're going with this.
And then there was a twisty little line going down from the middle of the man, and it said hedge funds and the or hedge fund managers or hedge funds or something. And the arrow going up was the perception, and the twisty little arrow going down to the ground was the reality. And I just didn't notice anything about it, but apparently there's some meta messages in there that are...
Yeah, arrows. It's right, all about arrows.
Right. And the point is that I thought it was interesting, and the article that the cover was referencing, I really thought was interesting. A lot of us have heard over the years about the hedge fund managers and the Yale and Harvard portfolio managers who did so exceptionally well and made all of us little mundane investment managers who actually do it for people look terrible. And now the reality is coming out.
They didn't do so well.
They didn't. Not only did they not do so well, they did horribly in most cases during that period. Or some of them did very, very well, but they did very, very well by cheating.
Yes. There's a great example. One of these endowments purchased land that was being used for lumber, for paper. Purchased lots and lots and lots of it, but it's a very...
It was a Harvard.
Yes, this was Harvard.
And Yale.
I wasn't going to go into the details there, but yes, it was Harvard and Yale. They bought all this land that had trees growing on it, and they labeled the price based on their expected demand for paper later on.
Paper and lumber.
And lumber. And...
It's called timberland.
One of the problems is that there have been fires in the region, and lumber supplies have been fairly well full for a while.
Well, we stopped building houses.
Yeah, and so the price of the lumber went way down, and then...
But during this period, by the way, they continued to have, as they continue to report, their portfolio is growing. And the reason they did that is because when they went to... It's really hard to appraise 1 million acres of forest land.
Right. Who's going to buy it?
And
how do you find a light-sized appraisal?
They did have an independent appraiser, but the independent appraiser went back to the last major purchase of 1 million acres.
Which was them. We're going to base your purchase on your purchase, and that's where we're going to get the price for it.
They made an estimate based on historic increases prior to that.
It sounds a lot like what we were talking about with the major news organization, talking about the trending news on Twitter, which was mm-hmm. them.
And so now those organizations are not doing so well. And the same thing is true. Last year, for whatever it's worth, the average hedge fund underperformed the market.
Yep.
And they take much higher risks than the market. So it's not a matter of underperforming because they're being conservative. It was a matter of underperforming the market because they just kind of made a lot of mistakes. And now we're finding out, almost without exception, there probably are some exceptions somewhere, but almost without exception, the people who did the best in their hedge funds back several years ago are being revealed to be cheaters and worse than cheaters. John Paulson, who still is featured as being a market genius or whatever,
Right.
Major, major lawsuit. I don't know about this. And the SEC is also suing him because it's pretty clear, and he's denying it vigorously, saying everything he did was perfectly legal. But he, and we've talked about this before, he picked the bonds to go in a Goldman Sachs bond offering in mortgage bonds. His firm was actually assigned to choose them, and it was done sort of backdoor. And he picked them, and at the same time, he went out and shorted, which means he's betting these things are going to collapse. He put literally hundreds of millions of dollars into bets that the bonds he picked to go into this fund were going to collapse. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs was advertising the fund as saying, John Paulson picked the bonds in here, so how could it go bad?
Yeah.
And John Paulson was famous, and of course he made
really
phenomenal quantities of money when the whole thing collapsed.
This is what happens, and this is important to recognize, that on the tongues of every person on Wall Street are the people that are doing well at a lot better than everybody else. Then if you look at their track record before that, they're generally not so good. And John Paulson,
in some cases, they weren't lucky. They were crooked.
Right. John Paulson was very lucky in certain areas, and then was also crooked in other areas. And the lucky areas was he was involved in gold and in bonds before gold and bonds were considered to be in favor. They went through this big upswing, and so everyone said, well, he's a genius. And now they've gone through a downswing, and he's lost a lot of money. A lot of money.
40% so far this
65% down.
And you know, this is one of those things that I think a lot of people don't understand, is that when you invest, if you are riding any investment boom and you're doing very, very well, you probably ought to be very afraid. For example, a very responsible report from a very responsible organization came out, and it barely made the blip of news in any form. Maryland's state fund that they used to fund their pensions with.
Oh,
so
yes.
On,
yes.
Over the last 12 months, made, I think it was 10.47%.
The Maryland state fund made something. Yeah, you think you put two decimal places in there. I believe, just to be generalizing, it was 10.54371.
Let me find it here. Maryland State Retirement Fund post fiscal year gains lowers assumed rate of return. You know, okay, boy, is that boring. 10.6%.
Okay, 10.6. That's different than 10.54. Maybe they rounded up.
Yeah, they probably did. It was a round up. Yes, yeah. But this is the point. In the last 12 months, ending in this particular case in June 30th, the retirement and pension system returned a preliminary 10.6% for the fiscal year. Which, now, if you look at the rise in the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the S&P 500 for the last, so far this year, it's higher than that. So why are they so proud of that? Well, the reason is they had a 7.75% expected rate of return. In other words, they are targeting 7.75, and they've announced that they're going to be lowering their expected rate of return in the future gradually to 7.5%, 7.55. And everybody, the professionals in the pension world and people like me said, attaboy, Maryland. Good work.
Good job.
10%.
Good job.
I don't know what the 12-month return is on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I can look it up here. But the point is that a 10% return right now for 12 months, if you got that in your portfolio, you probably have a responsible manager. And people are, when I say this to people, so often they are shocked. Like, how can that possibly be? Let's see. What the S&P 500, 52 weeks, is up 24%. The Maryland State Pension Fund is up 10.6, and I say, good work.
Yep.
Now, why is that? because the objective of a retirement fund is to have a consistent long-term rate of return.
Not to knock the ball out of the park right now.
And the fact that they didn't jump on the bandwagon and roar to the heavens means that when, not if, when this current bull market in stocks comes to an end, and Lord knows, nobody knows when that will occur, odds are the pension fund, the people who depend on the pension of the state of Maryland, will not be.
This is an important factor here that most people totally miss because they get wrapped up in the glee of the moment, the greed of the moment. If your portfolio is beating the market, then it's probably going to underperform the market later.
Yes, exactly.
It's a very simple statement.
That's for us, too. We do lots of client reviews during the year, and I can tell you that when the market was recovering from the bottom, you know, when the market was down, I would make a measurement of a portfolio, and very commonly, the portfolio over the previous 3 years, the previous whatever, had outperformed the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index. Now, that's really weird from the way that we normally think about these things, because perhaps the portfolio was only 50% in stocks.
Yeah, and how would it be outperformed? Well, this S&P 500 didn't do very well for a while.
Yeah, the S&P 500 fell. We didn't fall as far. And as the recovery has occurred, a lot of it's been in the bond side. This was a little while in the past. Now, this year, it's a completely different story.
Yeah.
The S&P 500 is running off and leaving us, and well,
some of us. There's some of our portfolios are more aggressive, and they're doing better, and some of them are.
But still,
the vast majority of our clients, though, are at a point where they are not trying to beat the market. They're actually
trying to beat it for them.
We're trying to keep a reasonable rate of return for them over a long period of time.
But our number one, and this is if you have an investment, particularly if you're it's a retirement fund. The objective is not just to get a reasonable rate of return.
It's also to take less risk.
It is to get whatever rate of return you need with the least risk that the day you retire, you will not see the bottom fall out of your portfolio and suddenly discover that you can't retire.
Then this is a good kind of segue there because it's done at the country level as well. The G20 meeting is just taking place. Are you familiar with this?
Where they, is that a breakfast food?
It should be with a G20 breakfast cereal.
G20.
Made by Russians.
Russians?
No, the Russians are hosting it this year. And they
have. I think a majority ownership is the Americans.
I believe the majority ownership of any of the major any number meetings is the Americans.
It's kind of like the G fund in the thrift savings plan.
Yes.
Right, yes.
So the G20 are meeting, and usually it's a non-event. Usually you can look at that as economists. You'll look at it and we'll say, okay, they met. They've said nothing new. They didn't say anything new this time, but they did something that was a little bit shocking.
What was that?
They recognized that the Eurozone's not doing so well and that America and Japan have done well. And they said, austerity doesn't seem to work very well.
Right.
That is an epiphany to them.
Well,
so this is the first time they've actually said that. This is a large group of these people are in the Eurozone, and they have been saying to each other, mumbling in closets together, talking everywhere publicly, loudly, and quietly in their homes, that austerity is the only way to get out of a recession, and it's put them in a depression.
Yes. Well, so, actually, there was a guy who firmly believed, well, there's a whole Congress and a guy who firmly believed that when everything starts falling apart, what you do is balance the budget.
Right.
And his name was Herbert Hoover.
Yeah.
And he's famous now.
He built a dam. It's the Dam Hoover.
Yeah.
Or the Hoover Dam.
Yeah, well, a lot of people.
Yes.
And
but then
the conservatives in Congress.
FDR stepped in and just. Kept right on. Well, not at first. Not at first.
He ran on the platform,
right?
Of balance the budget that Hoover is spending too much money.
Yeah,
and he won.
And so he did that and realized, well, instead, I think I'm going to spend a lot of money.
And then there was a war.
Right. And let me say some things here. This is whenever the government spends a lot of money to get us out of a recession, it has to be spent in a certain way. And the government itself generally won't get us out of the recession by spending money. I know that's a weird one. People go, wait a minute. No, the government will keep us from going further into the recession by spending money. Because the money that the government spends, I don't care if you're a Keynesian or if you're on the laissez-faire side of things, or if you
can be an Austrian.
Governments don't do anything particularly well.
What if you're a Texan?
Then you believe this even more so.
Okay.
Yes. Governments are really bad at spending money. Even when they do it well, it's not very efficient. So when a government spends money to create growth in the economy, they don't do it as well as the private sector. That's not a big shock to almost anybody that's listening. If it's shocking to you, then I'm sorry. You might how the world works. So the government is not going to pull us out of a depression or a recession by spending money. However, if they don't spend money, sometimes we will get a lot worse. The private sector has to pull us out, but the government tends to be involved in creating big recessions and depressions, and it tends to be involved in preventing them. This is part of the reason why we point at the politicians and say, why didn't you keep the economy good? I'm going to diselect you. I'm going to elect your opposition because your economy was bad. And generally, it's the person before the person that you're diselecting that did it. But
well, there was there was an interesting, you know, you may or may not have noticed that Chairman Bernanke addressed Congress.
How could you not notice this? I mean, there are people, it's like going to a sports fan and saying, did you notice that the World Series was on? You could ask us that, and we'd be like, what, the world what? But when you say Bernanke speaking, we're like, yeah, of course I noticed.
But you realize this is his last formal address to the House. And it was interesting who congratulated him. Both conservative Republicans who have been very, very critical of his actions. One of them, a Republican from Texas, John Hinserling, or Jeb Hinserling, rather, said to him, you acted boldly, decisively, and creatively. Under your leadership, the Fed took a number of actions that clearly staved off an even worse economic pain.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting because for those of you
totally
don't know,
agree with that.
Jeb Hinserling is the chairman of the House House Banking Committee, which is a very, very important position. He is a pretty serious conservative, and he thanked Chairman Bernanke, and I realize you probably heard somewhere along the way conservatives really beating up on the Federal Reserve chairman.
Right.
I commend Representative Hinserling for being able to step forward and publicly thank the chairman who he had criticized, because the chairman was doing exactly what Representative Hinserling told him not to do.
Right. And if you consider who appointed him and then reappointed him, the Federal Reserve needs to be chaired by somebody that's not very political.
And that the next one coming up probably will fall into that, I hope.
I hope so.
And let's hope. Because
we've had two in a row that were quietly libertarian in leans. And I realize most people think of the Federal Reserve as anathema to libertarians. They think
you just used some really big words.
Libertarian or anathema?
Libertarian, and most people don't know what a libertarian is, I think.
Uh-huh.
An anathema libertarian. That is really...
Okay, polar opposites.
Oh.
That's what that means. Polar opposites. It means like two magnets pushing each other apart. Most libertarians are about personal liberty and about little banks, not big banks.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest bank is the Federal Reserve Bank, because it's all the banks or all the Federal Reserve banks. And we've got somebody in charge of them, and you would think, well, that person needs to probably have protection from all those people that don't like big banks, except that part of the reason we have a Federal Reserve chairman that's appointed rather than from the banking community is because we don't want a banker in charge of the banks. And in this case, we have somebody that doesn't like banks very much. Mm-hmm. And the last person didn't like banks very much, and they were in charge of the regulation and management of banks. Well, I kind of like that. I like the idea that, for instance, we've talked about this earlier, the SEC's got a new chairperson, and that person doesn't like securities people very much.
Yeah, I think
that's a good thing. Your top person should be, that when they're regulating an area that could have a lot of fraud, they need to be looking for fraud. I think that's pretty cool.
I really do think we had some good appointees recently. Anyway, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and the telephone number
1-866-597-1400.
And you're in essence getting to hear our shop talk, which is probably boring you to tears.
Yeah, but now it's boring me to tears.
Now we're going to play something really exciting. I have no idea what you're about to hear, but it's a bunch of commercials from Town Square Media that support this station and its owner.
So most of the people that are listening will wake up for the commercials and go back to sleep when we come back.
Probably true, if anyone's listening, but you never can tell about these things. And we'll be back on the other side with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And in our last exciting episode, we were talking about Chairman Bernanke's testimony.
Yeah,
Chairman Bernanke's testimony before Congress this month.
I'll spice it up a little bit. Spice it up. And it's still going to talk about Chairman Bernanke and his comments before Congress.
Okay, he's bald and he has a beard.
Yeah, so he's obviously pretty cool.
He's cool by definition, like right.
All right. He was asked a question by a representative who's just refinanced his house. And so he said he would pass on a question from this congressman is passing on a question from one of his friends. Should my friend refinance his house? He's asking
the chairman of the Federal Reserve. I think that's insider financing.
And the chairman of the Federal Reserve said something that I applauded. I thought was one of the best things he said the entire meeting.
Okay.
And the major media has been lambasting him about it. And they're very confused by this answer. Bernanke, this is in quotes, "I am not a qualified financial advisor. I wouldn't want to answer that."
My kind of guy.
The reason is, this is very much like the hedge funds that we were talking about with the insider trading and all that good stuff. The Federal Reserve chairman's job is to look at the other side of that transaction.
Mm-hmm.
He's dealing with banks constantly. His job is to make sure that the banks aren't cheating when they give loans to people and to make sure that banks keep enough reserves on hand. He's looking closely at the process that a bank goes through, and he wants that process to be hard. He wants that bank to be really, really careful on how they're giving it their loans to the mortgage holder, the guy that wants to buy a house or refinance a house. He's looking at it. Well, first, he's saying don't cheat the people, but the biggest thing that he's concerned with is don't let the bank fail, because that'll cheat all of the bank holders.
Right.
So to ask him, should you go and refinance your house right now, he's so wrapped up in how does the bank make a profit and not hurt the people that have deposits there? And you're asking him,
I'm trying to think about the number of hours of education that I have that would be brought into, and there's a lot of them.
Yes.
That would have to come into play in order for me to answer that question for a single individual.
Right. If somebody came to me or called up on this program, people have heard this happen. Should I buy Apple?
Well, it all depends on whether you're talking about Fuji.
Yeah, so you're talking about
Golden Delicious?
Sorry, what are we talking about here? The reality is that every person is absolutely and completely different from every other person. It's just like what your kindergarten teacher told you, that you are special.
I don't know about that.
And, well, yes, there are clones, They exist.
No. This is the point. 26% of my DNA is the same as rice.
You're making me hungry.
Okay. Well, I'm apparently 26% rice.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, which just means that you are born on the same planet that rice is grown
right,
on, basically.
Exactly, right.
The idea here that somebody, it's like going to meeting a stockbroker in a dentist's office and saying, what should I buy? And them just knowing who you are and what you need and when you're retiring and what are the things that you're doing with your life. If someone asks me, should I refinance my house, there's generally about 5 to 10 minutes of questions that I'm going to ask
right.
about how long you're living there and what's your current rate of interest and how long have you been in the house and how much equity do you have in the house and are you planning on retiring in the near future and what's mm-hmm. your cash flow look like, and there's all kinds of questions that go into there, and then the media is going, well, he should just know that.
Well,
he's supposed to know these things. It's like going to a doctor and saying, do I have cancer?
Well, I have advice for people when they ask me for advice. Buy uh-huh. low, sell high.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get involved in a land war
like
on
Will
the mainland
Rogers here.
Of Asia.
Yes, I think Will Rogers said it well.
Right.
He said it very, very well.
Oh, yes.
Buy a stock, and when it goes up, sell it. If it doesn't go up, don't buy it in the first place.
Well, actually, he said if it don't go up.
If it don't go up, don't sell it in the first place.
Don't buy it
that
in the first place.
That is some of the best stock advice. Now, people go, ah. And see, if you give that advice, people go, ah. But they stop asking questions.
Well, actually, some people did that, and it didn't work particularly well for them, though.
Oh, yes. This is
stock options.
Yes, when, not just stock options. If you go back a few years back, the mutual fund front-running scandals.
Oh, well.
After-hour tradings. They actually were saying, okay, this one went up, so I'm going to buy it yesterday.
Right, exactly.
That's
hey,
not futures. That's pasts.
Well, or better yet.
Getting involved in pasts.
The stock went up, so I'm going to backdate my option
right,
to 5
exactly.
years ago so I can buy it at a low price
this
and
is,
sell it at a high price.
This, by the way, is the sort of thing that Ben Bernanke is looking at when he's looking at banks. He's saying, what are banks doing that might be bad, but also they have to make a profit. Otherwise, when you have a deposit at the bank, it's not going to be there. It'll go away. And so he wants to make sure your deposit's there. His job is to make sure that the money that you have invested with the bank, that you have loaned to the bank, is safe. His job is not so much to make sure that the bank gives you a good deal on a loan.
The people who manage mutual funds generally have CFA after their name.
Right.
Certified Financial Analyst.
Yes.
Wonderful.
That has no training whatsoever
right.
in giving personal
right.
advice.
And at the back of, for instance, my name, when I get really formal about it, it says CFP, Certified Financial Planner. So very frankly, I can tell you that I, Jeff McClure,
uh-huh.
am more qualified to advise a person on whether to refinance their house than Ben Bernanke is.
Yes, absolutely.
On the other hand, I do not think I am qualified to run the Federal Reserve.
No, absolutely not.
So,
see,
you know, there's the difference. Anyway, we
have more commercials. And
we do. Yeah. We actually have more commercials, and you are listening to the Personal Wealth
Coach.
Just
give the numbers one more time.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 0.
With
those are the numbers.
With those, you can make any other number.
Right.
With some commas, you need some commas, too.
Pretty amazing. Well, you don't actually have to have them, but it's kind of nice, you know. Anyway, the telephone number's in here. If you're in East Bell County, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
I don't think anybody's listening. Anyway, we got
I'm having a good time. I don't
and
really.
Stand by. We'll be right back. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And telephone numbers in here are still the same as they were, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
You know, it's nice to know that in a changing world, some things remain the same.
The numbers?
The telephone numbers for KTEM. And the
and
control
the,
board here.
Yes, it's a very...
Dates from the 1930s, I think.
I think they call that the modern era. I love it when they talk about the modern era in art, and then they start explaining
now,
that it started in 1900.
Are we in postmodern now?
Yes, we're postmodern, even though today when someone says, is that a postmodern computer? No, it's pretty modern.
Well, I like the idea that modern portfolio theory.
Right. It was developed in 1952.
Well, it was actually...
developed out of a paper written in 1952.
Yeah, but, you know, it's actually, it was what, probably in the 1970s and 80s is when it was really came into its thing and was developed and is continuing to be developed.
Very
modern.
But
it's modern portfolio theory and it's about 40 years old, which says something and I'm a little scared about what it says.
Anything that you give a label and you call it modern, you might not expect it to be modern for the whole length of time that you give the name to it.
You know, the hairstyles and clothing of the 1960s is called mod, which means modern.
Right, right.
Anyway.
Yeah, one last thing about Bernanke. We spent a lot of time.
Bernanke, so one of the last
things. One of the last things. Okay. He was asked again by, you know, he was talking to Congress, so the congressmen were asking him questions. And they were talking about the Japanese yen, which has fallen about 30% this year.
I have a yen for that.
And it's fallen in exchanges, not in Japan. This is something very fascinating here. When a currency goes down, it means it's cheaper versus other currencies. That's pretty simple stuff. If it goes down in your own country...
that's called inflation.
Right. But if it goes down outside your country and stays the same inside your country, that means people can buy your stuff cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
So he's asked by the representative what he thinks about this horrible thing about Japan's currency getting weaker. His answer was as confusing as is normal to most congressmen. And I can quote it, but that would probably confuse our readers.
Yeah,
our
listeners
doesn't
confuse. I mean, if it confuses a congressman,
yeah, that's just somebody was talking to him.
Yes.
basically what Bernanke said is they've had deflation for the past 20 years. Japan has.
Right.
And they've broken it, but they broke it in a way that had nothing to do with manipulation of their currency. So he then brought up China and spoke for a little bit. This about how China manipulates and locks its currency to other currencies so that it doesn't change.
And they don't allow it to leave the country.
Right. And they want that because they want to hold their currency weak so that their goods are cheap in the places that buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a problem. There's a lot of problems with that. It's like government subsidies of goods when the government is controlling the currency.
You mean it's kind of like for the calls for the federal government to step in and bail out Detroit because Michigan won't?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same concept there. And Japan's done the opposite. Japan said, okay, if you're ready to fail, do it. If you're not going to fail, then get your act together. And they've done basically what we do at every time that the banks have issues is we are there to make sure that the people that didn't want to take risk and didn't know they were taking risk are not hurt too horribly, but the professionals involved should probably lose their jobs, and this is some changes there. Anyway, that was another nerdly thing that most people listening were probably drooling into. Hopefully people drink coffee before listening to us because we think this is so exciting
stuff.
I do. Ben Bernanke talking about the economy and their...
classic geeks? I mean, we really get excited when Ben Bernanke speaks to the House of Representatives.
We giggle about the congressman being confused. Oh, they didn't know what that meant. And then we talk about it and people go, I don't know what that meant.
Other people get really excited about, like, sports.
Uh-huh. And when they talk to me about it, I look very confused.
But we really get excited when the chairman of the Federal Reserve holds a conversation with the House Banking Committee. One of the things he said in his conversation that I really liked, anytime the chairman of the Federal Reserve agrees with me, obviously I like it. He was asked about the price of gold and why it went up so high and why it has come down so far. And his answer was, gold is a very unusual asset.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, his exact quote, gold is an unusual asset. It's an asset that people hold as a sort of disaster insurance. However,
it doesn't work very well.
The point, he says, is as a forecaster of inflation, it's very poor. Actually, as a forecaster of inflation, high gold prices historically have indicated low inflation ahead.
Yeah. So it's the opposite effect.
And when you see gold prices at record lows, then you can be concerned that we're going to have some inflation. But when gold prices are breaking records because people are afraid of inflation, virtually by definition, we will have little or no inflation into the future.
This is hopefully the last thing that we talk about Bernanke in this hour. And I realize I only had one more thing, and now it's become two or three more things about Bernanke. But
you're running out of time.
Basically, he is very pro the free trade agreement for the Pacific Rim that is in talks.
Pacific? You got
Pacific.
Pacific.
Pacifically speaking.
Are you?
Yeah, we're talking about doing free trade,
no tariffs.
Is
this the specific Pacific?
That we're talking about having no tariffs with Japan, and this is a complete reversal. The auto industry of the United States is totally against dropping tariffs on Japan. If you think back to the early 1980s when they were complaining horribly that we couldn't get cars into the Japanese economy because the tariffs were so bad, and that we were the strongest car makers in the world and they weren't allowing us into their market, and now we're saying we can't compete with them if they have cars that are traded at the same amount as us, then we can't compete with them. But
yep.
Free trade is good no matter what.
And we're running out of time this hour. Next hour, we're going to come talk about the Detroit bankruptcy, among some other things, and the risk to municipal bondholders and retirees. But you have been listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and the Personal Wealth Coach is both a presentation and an SEC-registered investment advisor. We manage wealth for people who need it managed.
If you want to contact us off the air, we have voicemail waiting at locally at 947-1111 or toll-free 1-866-597-1400. You may email us, jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com or thepersonalwealthcoach.com.
Your Fox News radio station in Central Texas. News Radio 1400 KTEM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.